most of us are in the I'll believe it when I see it category. But is there any chance that the biggest weakness of the Arizona Cardinals last year, and maybe even a couple years running, could actually be one of the more important strengths this year? Paul Calvisi,
they say healthy. Sorry,
Nicholas. Oh no, it's all right.
Get off the mic.
Paul Calvisi was on Paul's call yesterday and brought up NFL Network comments from Joe Thomas, the Hall of Fame offensive lineman, and I say Hall of Fame because I'm comfortable saying that
yes.
now.
I think so, yes.
I don't think you need a gold jacket for us to know you'll be getting one. But here's Joe Thomas on Cardinals offense.
When you're constantly changing the launch point where the quarterback's throwing the football, it makes it much easier on the offensive lineman because just about half your protections are run right and run left, and you're faking the run so much that the defensive line is actually running horizontally before they get into their pass rush.
This is a really interesting point. Nobody's made the point of how well the offense could be protecting the quarterback by scheme alone and not just talent.
Yes,
thanks,
Joe Douglas. Yeah, honestly, look at Basin Orleans. This is something that we've been talking about for a couple of weeks now. The offensive line, I think, is going to be better for three primary reasons. Number one, I do believe there's an upgrade in personnel. Number two, I do believe that the scheme they're going to use is actually going to benefit these guys. And number three, the skill of the mighty Kyler Murray is going to benefit them as well. Those three things. Would you like to go into detail on that, Paul?
No, I'd like to give you number four.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, number
Take
four.
That. Take that. Absolutely. Yes.
The offensive line coach, Sean Kugel.
Oh!
I'm going to throw number four in there.
As a matter of fact, I'm going to do that. I'm going to go ahead and put down number four,
That's
Paul.
That's right.
Because you're right.
That's
Sean
right.
Kugler.
Yeah, give me a ding.
What about him, though, Paul? What do you like?
Just the way the guys are talking about him. And based on the fact you can hear him all the way across the practice field, and he's holding guys accountable, and there's no-nonsense, zero tolerance over there with mistakes of any sort. So let's hope that translates on game day. Put it that way. That's all I'm going to say. By the way, speaking of offensive linemen, if you want to hear from a few of them, here's Justin Pugh on how he's never blocked for such a mobile quarterback. He cited how in recent history he's blocked for Eli and Sam Bradford.
It's just my first go at it with a mobile quarterback, but have you seen him throw the ball? I think he's going to stay back there and sling that thing too. So he can do a lot of different things, and we're looking forward to that.
Marcus Gilbert, your right tackle on the new QB, running the new up-tempo offense.
We're going so fast, so we can see everything. We can see the field. You know, it's more so on the defense and trying to get set. And, you know, most of the times they can't get set because we're going so fast. And he's made for this offense. And I think that we have to do a lot of catching up to make him feel comfortable and, you know, and do our job as offensive line and stay out there and protect K1.
That's interesting.
Yeah, the skill of the mighty Kyler Murray is going to help an offensive lineman as well. Typically, they're going to rush five. I think that's going to be the standard. They're going to rush five. It's what you do to Russell Wilson, try to collapse the pocket around him, right? You rush four, now all of a sudden you have rush lanes. You have lanes that you're going to create when you only rush four guys. Five guys, now all of a sudden you can fill what you feel like are the rush lanes, so to speak. And that will keep a quarterback in the pocket, and you can collapse the pocket. The last thing that a defensive coordinator is going to want with Kyler Murray is him running outside the pocket. Suddenly he's outside of it. Now you've got problems. They want to keep him inside the pocket and collapse the pocket around him, especially when he's 5'10". That's what they're going to do. That's what they're going to try to do. Now, the other alternative to that is that you bring six or more. The problem with that is now you're playing man cover for the most part. You're playing man cover and you open yourself up to some type of exposure. You better get to the queue. If you don't get to the queue, if you don't get to Kyler Murray, you're doomed because you've got man behind that. And if he breaks out, if somehow, some way he escapes that six-man rush or seven-man rush, now you're doomed.
And guess what? Your quarterback has an ultra-quick release if he needs to get rid of the ball quickly, if they're bringing numbers. And he has the ability to make a guy miss or two and buy himself some more time. So you're right, Wolf. That's very risky, is it not? In some ways, this is going to be a return to Bruce Arians in that, for the offensive line, I mean, you're going to have five guys, and that's it. You're not going to have a lot of help. B.A. didn't give the edges much help, did he, Wolf?
No.
If Cliff Kingsbury is consistently going four wide, there's not going to be a lot of help for these offensive linemen.
No.
It's going to be these five guys, and that's it.
No, that's there's not going to be a lot of help for the most part, Paulie. But, again, the scheme, the design of the scheme, when you're running as many RPOs as I believe the Arizona Cardinals are going to run. The Arizona Cardinals may lead the league in RPOs, Ron Wolfley reporting.
Mm.
That's all I'm going to say. Pure speculation on my part right now. But
more than Lamar Jackson.
And the reason why I say that
I'm kind of with Paul.
Is again, if you are going to go ahead and protect that offensive line, you couldn't have a better scheme than the RPO scheme because they're run blocking. They come off the ball, they're run blocking, and Kyler Murray, for the most part, is looking at one guy, a gross simplification of the truth, but I'm just going to say it that way because it's the easiest way to understand. He's looking at one guy, and then, boom, the ball's coming out, and you're throwing the ball immediately. So even if you blitz off the edge, there's a chance you're not going to get there.
One other really, really important thing for this offense, Wolf, is, and I know you totally support this and you totally agree, is Julie. Julie is really, really important for this offense.
Julie.
Would you say that the offense needs to stay healthy, the offensive line?
Yes.
Based on last year?
Yes.
We found out Julie is the key.
I try to get in the best shape as I can, get as strong as I can in every way possible. I picked up Pilates this offseason. Shout out to Julie. She's been helping me with the Pilates, and it's been legit. It's probably the hardest workout that I've ever done. Pilates, little lady in her garage, and she just kills me, man. You think, like, you see her, you're like, oh, she's going to be so nice and sweet. And she's like, come on, what are you doing? Like,
so DJ Humphries is explaining right that there. He goes over to somebody's garage, and Julie drops the hammer with Pilates, which is clearly the best way to get
Paul.
In shape, Wolf. It makes a man tougher to do Pilates.
Honestly, Paulie, tell me you don't do Pilates, Paulie. You don't do that, right?
I can officially report, sources confirm, not Paulie Pilates.
DJ Humphrey says Pilates is the hardest workout there is.
How about this right here? Could you imagine if Paul Calvisi actually did Pilates, ladies and gentlemen?
Whoa.
We would call them Pilates.
That's so bad. Turn off his mic.
Pilates, ladies and gentlemen. That's what number
by the way.
Number two. Get off the ball, DJ. Get off the ball. Laying all over the ball.
That's some big red rage on red rage crime right there.
You know what? How about this right here, D?
Pilates.
How about you go ahead and you just, you know, you grab 850 and pull it off the ground? How about that?
But what if you do it on
a
Bosu? You're standing on the Bosu.
That's great. And all the speed rushers get the edge on him because he can deadlift 2,000 pounds.
Deej, how about this? You put 650 on your back and squat it three times.
It's not 1985, okay?
No. Hey, Paul, don't tell me about 1985, Paul. That squatting and deadlifting will never go out of style.
Wolf,
it will benefit you as a player.
If you're interested, Wolf, DJ will help you find a Pilates instructor.
Christian Kirk. Yeah, Christian Kirk. Christian played football with her son in high school, I think. And I used to always see Christian on social media. Like, I'm like, man, what is this Pilates stuff? Because I heard it was hard, you know what I mean? I wanted to pick up something extra to do, like some core work and stuff. I got a little bit more than I could bit off of.
So, honestly, DJ, I don't care if it is hard.
If you could help
get off the ball.
Wolf needs a Pilates instructor, Christian, if you could help out Wolf.
By the way, two things. Don't make me get Lorenzo Alexander in here because the man the man owns a Pilates studio in the D.C. area.
I don't care.
Don't make me have Zoe come in here and put you on the list.
Hey, Zoe,
he's got a list.
Get off the ball.
And by the
pull
way,
850 off the floor.
By the way, when
chalk it up and pull it.
When I saw DJ Humphries in the locker room, my jaw dropped. He's in phenomenal shape. He looks great.
Yeah,
so
he does.
I don't know if it's the Pilates or what, but he's at 305 and he looks like he has a 34-inch waist.
Yes.
The hardest workout.
The knee looks good.
Coming up next, he has been bad for a month. What did he show you last night? That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Diamondbacks had a game yesterday. Here's the extent of their offense.
The 2-2 pitch from Paddock. And a ground ball to second. Not hit hard enough to get two. They get the out at second, not at first. Ahmed crosses the plate.
Thanks. They got a run. Not a lot of positives with the Cardinals, with the Diamondbacks offense right now. And it doesn't make it worse, of course, but it almost makes it more frustrating when you look at the pitching right now. Because you have an outstanding performance yesterday from Luke Weaver. And then something else that you kind of got to keep an eye on and be happy with. the reasonably good performance of Archie Bradley came in and just absolutely shut it down in the seventh, totally dominated the seventh inning, gave up back-to-back hits in the eighth inning, but then, boom, two strikeouts, got hit with an intentional walk, and then they pulled him after they loaded the bases because they wanted the lefty-lefty matchup with Chafin. So you don't like the two base hits. His whip has been a problem. Base runners have been a problem, but the fastball command was there, and it actually felt like he threw the curveball with authority and with a purpose in this game.
Absolutely. An old coach has said, you couldn't bust a deuce. You couldn't bust a deuce. Right? Well, Archie Bradley was busting the deuce
medicine for that
last night.
Yeah.
All right. I'm just saying, well, use your imagination with the old coach in football. You can't bust a deuce. All right, listen. Archie was busting the deuce last night. I totally agree with your idea that the fastball located, again, made him as effective as he is. There's no doubt about that. But I thought he was large in the seventh inning, right? But legendary in the eighth.
It's funny, too, because one of his worst pitches to me was the one that struck out Framil Reyes, because he wanted to throw a high fastball, but he threw it obnoxiously high, and then Reyes still chased it.
Unbelievable. that was awesome right there. Honestly, I loved it, the way he just ripped through the order in the seventh inning. That was great to see. That was Archie Bradley-esque, was it not? Then all of a sudden, the eighth inning, he comes back out and the first two guys reach. It's first and third, and then suddenly second and third after a stolen base, right? And there's nobody out.
Mm-hmm.
And then suddenly he got the strikeouts there, and they brought Andrew Chafin in, and Chafin was
three straight sliders, and we're done.
Absolutely. It was great. But I love to see that out of Archie. The brawl, the battle, so to speak. Fight it, right? A lot of adversity in the eighth inning, and he overcame it. I loved it.
Pitching was fantastic. Here's Torrey Lovello on Fox Sports Arizona after the game talking about the starter, Luke Weaver.
Luke was unbelievable. He really just made one mistake at the wrong time to the wrong guy. And he did everything he could to keep us in this game. And, you know, unfortunately, we just we built a couple of innings in a couple of situations and only scored one run. And that's really the name of the game. And got to grind through it. We got to keep fighting through that and have more productive at-bats in certain situations. But can't say enough about what Luke did.
And here's the thing that I like a lot about what Luke Weaver did then afterwards. I mean, here is a guy fighting, and he can act like he's not, but for the rest of his life, he's fighting to prove the Goldschmidt trade wasn't a disaster. And yet, at a moment when the offense once again does nothing for him, which has been a trend of them not coming through for him at all, he then stands there and wants to look at one thing, the Reyes home run, not anything to do with the Diamondbacks.
That one just hurts. You know, you work your butt off to get to that spot in the game.
And he's jacked up because you can hear the competitor in him.
Yeah.
He's jacked up to face Mr. Power of their lineup. With all due respect to Manny Machado, yes. Reyes is scarier. And he's in that situation with two outs, and he's got a guy on, and he says, I've got to go after this guy, and doesn't get it done, and then questions everything about himself that he did.
I just felt, hindsight's 20/20, but I just felt like in that pitch, it just wasn't the right call, and I kind of felt it before I threw it. And it's just a mental error in my mind where I should just step off and kind of gather and either think about it or just, throw something else. And I think I just tried to do too much with it, knowing that the balls were running, and it just spun out of my hand. And good hitter, power hitter, and put the swing on.
That's why it's called a shadow of a doubt, because that's exactly what happened to Luke Weaver right there. Doubt is your enemy.
Yep.
Make no mistake about it, ladies and gentlemen. I don't care what sport you're playing in. When you're actually trying to execute something, some skill, right, some precept, you're out there trying to execute it, and you have doubt, you are doomed. Period. And that's what Luke Weaver was talking about. I just love the fact that he puts himself under the microscope the way that he does.
That's what I love so much about that quote, because you've heard a lot of players, a lot of pitchers who will say that wasn't the right call right there. And then they leave it hang. as if it was the catcher's fault, the pitching coach's fault, whoever called the pitch, things like that.
Get out of the dugout.
And here's what he is saying is, I didn't believe in it, and that's a mental error on my part.
Yes.
I should have stepped off the mound.
It's called accountability.
I should have thrown what I wanted to throw and stand there and say, hey, that was my decision that gave up the home run. Or I need to stand off and accept the fact my catcher or my pitching coach has done the research, knows why this is a good pitch, and I've got to believe in it.
Yes.
I shouldn't say, well, I disagree, so I'm going to try to throw it like this. And now you overthrow, you don't get the movement, you don't get the whatever you're looking for. And there's not a lot of guys of that age that are ready to say, bad decision, my fault.
Yes.
And yet he did just that.
No, that's leadership right there. That's what accountability is all about, right? You hold yourself to a standard higher than you're willing to hold anybody else, right? And it's good to see this out of this young guy, right? This developing young guy. The dude retired 17 of the first 18 hitters that he faced. That is called fire. An excellent outing once again by Luke Weaver. He deserved better. There's no doubt about it, but this is a young guy that is growing. And right now looks like the best thing the Diamondbacks got out of the Paul Goldschmidt deal. Right now, Luke Weaver.
Just had a bad moment in life. There's a pigeon out here smarter than I am.
What do you mean?
Well, I just threw something at the pigeon.
Well, I saw you acting like a savage over there doing something. Right?
I threw something at this pigeon that was walking along the railing here, and he was not intimidated by me. And I thought, how is this pigeon not intimidating? And then Bear got in my ear and said, windows are tinted. He can't see you.
Oh, that's... Oh, there you go.
I was like, oh, man, I hate those.
I just thought you were being savages in the morning.
No, I just hate smart pigeons, and I'm not a smart pigeon.
Speaking of...
Ticket Window Tuesday,
oh, yeah,
opens now.
Ticket Window Tuesday's open. You like Dave Matthews Band? We got tickets if you want to see them.
602-260-9870.
I'm going to lose my mind, David.
And you know what? In honor of Frank Caliendo, who's got two shows this weekend, let's take caller number two. Let's be like lightning. You got to call in fast. Caller number two at 602-260-9870. You've got a pair of tickets coming to you thanks to Arizona Central Credit Union to go see Dave Matthews Band in concert on September 13th at Auction Pavilion.
Frankie.
He's coming up next. Wolf and John Gruden will try to decide who is more ridiculous.
Ridiculous?
Yeah. It's you versus
him. Isn't
that
Chuck?
That's coming up next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Let's just throw somebody under the bus for no reason. Aaron Maloney is the producer of the Doug and Wolf Show. I walk in this morning, and she starts planning out the show, and she says, now, what do I write on the show sheet? What do you want me to do with Frank?
Yeah.
And I said, Aaron, with Frank, there are no rules.
Right.
Frank Caliendo live in the Auction Community Studio.
Frankie.
We don't have rules with Frank.
Yeah, she seemed a little... But the great part about her, she's very honest, because she didn't know what I would be doing.
Yeah.
So she was asking me questions like, how should we have him set you up? Like, say hello. Just say hello. I'll start talking, and we'll get into... Then I wrote that promo.
As we call the tease in the business.
The tease?
Yeah.
And you were supposed to read, and I was hoping you'd read, P.S. Frank wrote this promo, because it was... Coming up next, Wolf and John Gruden decide who's more ridiculous, which I figured you would know is from me, but I wanted to hear the P.S. This was written by Frank Caliendo, and I'll tell you what, man, it's going to be... I'll tell you what, Basinonians.
How you doing, Frankie, with the eyes?
Is that your Gruden? Let's hear your Gruden. Come on.
I can't do that.
Come on, Wolfie.
I'm talking about the face.
I'll tell you what,
the
man. That's
right
really
there,
good for radio.
Right?
You're really thinking ahead of time, man. Hey, pull that hat down over your face.
That's
more.
Right.
That's why I wear a visor. You imagine if you were a visor, that thing would be at your neck, man. It is funny to watch.
But I heard ridiculous in the tease, and I thought of Chuck.
Oh,
of course,
that's ridiculous. Right? You look at everything that is going on now. The Portland Trail Blazers are going to win the NBA Finals. What happened?
Yeah, they're not in it.
That's it. Well, they're still going to win.
Oh, I see.
They're still going to it can happen. That's the thing that's going on right now. That's the greatness of the NBA. You never know who is going to
so
end up winning,
good,
even if you're knocked out. Even if you're knocked out of the NBA, there's a possibility.
I love when he does that. He does that little.
There's a possibility that.
And you think he's resetting, but no, it's not resetting at all. It's just like, I'm going to spew a lot of craziness right now.
Oh, yeah, and got Shaq all bent out of shape about a week and a half ago or so.
What's happening with Shaq? Are they the sunglasses he's wearing?
Yeah.
Like, nobody wears sunglasses on a set, pregame. And I don't know if they're regular glasses that just tint because the lights are so, but you just see.
Shaq, what's going on over there? It's very sunny over here. I'm not exactly sure what's going on, but we just know that it's in it. I have no idea what you just said, but it was brilliant. Thanks a lot, Shaq. I'll be DJing this week. DJing what? Because I have no idea who's.
How have they not had you on that show?
I did it years ago. I haven't done it. Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. When I had my show on TBS, I would go on there. And
I've always liked you until those promos. Man, was that annoying.
Right?
You were all over the place.
I get that. I would get people from. Because for people who don't remember, during the 2007, I think, baseball playoffs,
yes.
It was there were commercials for my show, Frank TV, in between the commercials for Frank TV. And then you'd come back to the game, and I'd be behind home plate. I'd be on the base, and you were hoping there'd be a double play where somebody would spike the base. Somebody'd step and turn it on the base instead of 2 feet off of it.
Ooh.
It was... Yeah, but again, I would get flack for that. I was like, yeah, but it's better than never being promo. I was on Stern at the time. He's like, I don't do a great Donald Stern.
Donald Trump is who you were thinking is the wrong guy.
I don't do a great Howard Stern. Thank you. Howard Stark, that's my dad. Tony Stark, nice job turning it around, turning it back to Fan Fusion, which Frank will be at this weekend as well. So where were we at? I don't remember. See, this is why Aaron
still
needs
on Howard
this is why Aaron needs a shot sheet.
Basically.
But he was like, "Do you dislike all this promotion?
Shot sheet.
Yeah, shot sheet. You know,
TV.
You go down. Yeah, we're in the pros here.
We got to think about everything that's going on here, Wolfie. Come on, man.
What was the question? I can't remember. Oh, so Howard said you'd get upset about all the promos. And I was like, hey, it's better than none.
Yeah.
Right? So,
what do you got going on right now, Frankie? I mean, honestly, are you still doing a series? Are you? Tell me about your.
I don't even know. I've
your
been
television
doing,
series,
I've,
your
no,
radio
I've been,
career.
I've been just trying to build like podcast stuff in the last. Building a podcast studio. I don't know if you guys have heard.
I'm
the
ready.
Podcasts are the thing. I got two going on. One that's Alan Frank Try to Be Serious, a friend of mine, Al Jackson, and I. We take, like, I don't want to call them political things, but things that people make political.
Yeah.
And then we take the politics out of it and go, well, just let's see how everybody thinks about this stuff and discuss it.
Like what? Like, how do you take the politics out of political things?
Well, in terms of, like, so instead of talking politics about there's this young kid who does this Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez video, and it's like, it's obvious to me that it's her parents that had her do this, because why would a little kid do this? It's making fun of Ocasio-Cortez.
Yeah.
I don't care where you're on the political spectrum, that's not the point. But people put their kids in these positions to get hundreds of thousands of...
So you rip Republicans, Democrats...
Yeah, just make fun of them. It's not,
everybody.
But it's not about
libertarians.
Ripping. Yeah, it's more about, hey, how does this person think, and where are they coming from, to try and come to a cordial disagreement. So you can just... Because everything seems to be pitted people against people, when in fact most of us are just sitting there kind of in the middle going, okay, I just don't understand your perspective. Give me your perspective. You get that. And then like everything they tell you not to do in sports radio, that's what we're doing with these things. it's kind of that, just a talking. So frankpods.com will bring you to that. And we do one that's about like comic books and superheroes and stuff like that, because I'm part of this thing, Fan Fusion Downtown, which I'm trying to get.
You've got to get Wolf there. The way Wolf rips fantasy people, you've got to get anybody who loves superheroes.
What would you like? I mean, I'm not a person who does the cosplay.
Yeah.
I don't get into that. But some people find it to be really cool. But this is Downtown. People, they have some pretty good guests this year. Jeff Goldblum's going to be there, which you would do.
I saw Prince Humperdinck is coming. I thought about bringing my own girls. That's Princess Bride.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I mean, there's some pretty cool people that are going to be there. Billy Dee Williams, who plays Lando Calrissian.
Billy Dee?
Yeah.
Lando.
Oh, yeah. And Scott Joplin.
You're big on the Star Wars.
Darth Maul's coming too.
No,
but why would you get your picture taken with Darth Maul out of costume?
Right.
But why would you get your picture taken with the actual actor of Darth Maul? Because I'm sure a fake Darth Maul is a lot cheaper.
Yeah, he's got it even worse than me trying to take a picture with me in John Madden makeup. That's how difficult it is there. But it's I just got my daughter broke her elbow a year ago. And she was a gymnast, and she just got into these Marvel movies, and we've gotten to go meet a bunch of people, and it's really cool. The fan fusion thing is a family thing. I'm trying to get them to bring more sports people down eventually, mm-hmm. because it's the same kind of thing. It's not just superheroes. It's a little bit of everything. Mm. And you get the sports crowd. There's a lot of crossover there between like the superhero stuff and the action movies. And it's a lot of fun. It's a totally different type of thing. But then at nights on Saturday and Sunday night this weekend, I'm at Stand Up Live doing stand-up comedy.
Very cool.
Like a true local hero. We can hashtag
yes.
it. But I tell you this. The other thing that I did recently was I let my son – because I've been trying to get my Instagram up because my Twitter was good, and I had to get off of Twitter because I was just getting too mean and angry and becoming
a really terrible person.
And I was like, I got to get off this for a while. And in the meantime, like social media took off even more to where that's all anybody cares about. And my Instagram was down, so I let my son take control of my Instagram for a while. My 14-year-old son. No, he's a responsible
yeah.
kid. But I forgot that he was going to. He like at 14 years old. I said he could follow any of his friends, not thinking that he's going to follow some of his friends that are girls. And then there's like things showing up on my Instagram feed of bikini. I'm like, no. Go. We got to get away from this, bud, because dad
How
doesn't want to go to jail. Yeah, he's 14.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
so,
yeah.
It's not just the boys and girls. They have parties. And it's like, you know, I'm just thinking it's still my sixth grade son who doesn't even talk to a girl. I don't know the reality of he's evolved.
Frankie, you're a wise man.
Yeah, that was a quick move. Yeah.
The
Phoenix Convention Center, speaking of which, will also once again host more than 75 of the Southwest's best craft beers with over 350 craft beers, and we're giving you the chance to win tickets. And if we've got extras, I'll take some. Just visit the rewards page at arizonasports.com to enter, and for a complete details, you can go on the Real Wild and Woody Indoor Beer Festival on July 27th. This is Character Counts. It's brought to you by Parker & Sons Heating, Cooling, Plumbing, and Electrical. And a former college standout wide receiver and NFL assistant is now a hero, as Keenan Lowe had just entered a classroom at Portland High School where he works as a coach and security guard when a student armed with a shotgun showed up in the doorway. Lowe had seconds to react, and his instincts took over. He lunged forward, tackled the gunman to the ground, allowed students to exit the classroom safely. Coach Lowe then unarmed the suspect and continued to detain him until authorities were there and everyone safe. Due to Lowe's actions, the situation resulted in no injuries. He was honored during Game 4 of the Western Conference Finals between the Blazers and Warriors last night, and was recognized by Damian Lillard and Golden State head coach Steve Kerr.
You know, it's just amazing, Basinonians. We all think that we'd like to respond the same way, right, if put in that situation, and yet you never know. You have no idea how you respond in that situation. Yet Keenan Lowe,
yeah,
he did.
Yeah.
Keenan Lowe, a man who lived to the best of his abilities. A man who shows you what human form can be. If we were all like Keenan Lowe, we would all be on a Keenan high. That's why Character Counts, right here on Doug and Wolf. Use it anytime you want, fellas.
Yeah, that's
that's better than I hate smart pigeons.
Might want to pull that. Just might want to do that.
I think it's already been done. Parker & Sons Heating, Cooling, Plumbing, and Electrical now wanting Frank Caliendo for every Tuesday Character Counts. They award a $10,000 scholarship to a deserving student athlete in our area. And unbeknownst to Frank, he's just been conned into being our speaker at that wonderful evening where we award the scholarship. Coming up next, Frank Caliendo running an NFL draft, so we hear. That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Oh. Are you talking to me? Frank Caliendo? Yeah, Frankie. Ray. expect? The NFL draft. Ray Spect. Calling general managers during the NFL draft. We don't want to hear John Gruden. Yeah.
Your Pantera call-out is driven by AutoNation. With 13 dealerships in the Valley and over 100,000 new and pre-owned vehicles on AutoNation.com, find what you're looking for today.
I should have. I've been, like I said, I'm trying to get into that Instagram thing. I should have put that on Instagram. I'm going to have you do that during the break. Another one. It doesn't look. Your face is so red right now. It's matching your Cardinals
you got that right.
polo. That yes. was a. So that's the story that you're talking about. This is because Steve Keim and I have been friends for a while now. I coached, and I use that term loosely, one of his sons in flag football, and then Carson, who's become pretty good friends with my son, Joey, and then Brady Keim, who always complains that I don't talk about him enough. So this is a shout-out for Brady Keim, who
Brady.
One of my favorite things Brady's ever asked me. So how much money do you make? Like, tell me how much your dad makes, and then we'll go. So this is what happened. And Steve always knows it. Me, it's me because I sent him a bunch of messages as John Gruden. Like, I tell you what, man, I've been listening to some local morning sports radio here in the Bay, and now they triggered some ideas. What do you say? What do you say? You at number one? What do you say? You take Joey Bosa because I want Joey Bosa. Joey Bosa is not going to be around at number four. And at number four, I take Kyler Murray. You want Kyler Murray, but you can take him at number four. You can pay Kyler Murray less. I could pay Joey Bosa more, but I wasn't going to pay him anything because I wasn't going to get him. Then I give you number 27 on top of that. Right? So now.
You're leaving messages?
Yeah. Well, they were just, I sent him audio files and this is not during the draft. So Yahoo takes okay. the story All and right. says that I'm doing this during the draft.
Right.
It's a complete lie. Fake news. Fake news. Like it was, like I'm like, no, this is 100% not. He knew it was me from the beginning. This is a joke. This is silly. And then I'm looking at these stories and I text Steve. I go, can you believe what's happening right here? And it was just unbelievable because it came even close to draft time. I didn't hear from him for 3 days. Like, he's busy,
yeah,
right? This
right.
is me just messing with him ahead of time just for fun. And I even got something eventually sent over to Mike Mayock, and Mayock knew it was me, too. He's like, what's Gruden doing? Then I left messages, too. They weren't even messages. They were like, and they're from my phone, so you knew it was my phone number. But I left Jay Glazer, and that I have to swear with Jay Glazer, so I won't. Obviously, this isn't authentic. But I was like, what's going on? Are you actually making a trade? Yeah, are you actually making a trade with John Gruden? This is a ridiculous trade. I can't believe it. Then I call up as Adam Schefter. I'm not sure what's going on. But I've been hearing some rumors. There's a possibility that you and John Gruden are doing some sort of crazy trade. I just want you to remember that you have my phone number. Let me know. I'll be here ready to go if you have any information. Once again, Adam Schefter. You have my number. Like, it just went from Jay Glazer being this crazy guy.
Listen, I'm on my way to work out right now. And what I like to do is work out on my way to working out. That's what I do. You see, I got my tooth knocked out by Demi Lovato. Went viral. It's incredible. It's incredible stuff. I hang out with The Rock. That's what just kind of guy.
How did you not get this trade done? I mean, Wolf and I were standing here for 2 months screaming, trade for 424 and 27. You could have gotten that deal done.
Yeah, I'll tell you. It's a lot of fun, but listen, it was amazing to be caught up in this little bit of it was a phony story. My dad's texting me like, what are you doing? I'm like, it's not real. And then people are mad at me like, kid, grow up. I'm like, it was known by all parties what was going on. This is not true.
So how did they get the story? How did they get
Because I did
story?
A national show.
Okay.
And Steve actually had promised me that he'd come on, and I thought that no way after the draft he ever would. He called up and he did the show with me, and he was even talking about. Then they took his quotes out of context juxtaposed them with mine and created this story out of it. I was like, this isn't even close to what happened.
It was fake news.
Oh, totally. I'd never been in that kind of social media fakeness. And I was like, wow, I don't even understand what's going on right now. But it was kind of a lesson. And I know Steve will never do me another favor. I wouldn't if I were him. I mean, he's been so good to me and a great friend and really cool stuff. And I'm even scared to ask for tickets now. My wife, you know, every once in a while I ask for tickets. And now I'm not doing it anymore because he's done the favor that I needed. So I'm staying out of it. But I am going full. I said this on the show, too, because I'm really rooting for the Cardinals this year. And somebody asked me why. I go, because I really love being friends with a general manager for the Cardinals.
But I know you're a Cardinal fan.
Oh, yeah. There's all this drama and stuff like this. I'm getting more and more removed from. I grew up in Wisconsin where it's state law. You have to be a Packer fan. And I don't even have any friends there. I had a couple friends that were linemen and stuff there. I mean, still a little piece of me always care about the Green Bay Packers. But when you're in the community, and I think we have how can you not love Larry Fitzgerald?
We need you to do a PSA for all the people that have moved here and haven't, you know, committed yet.
Well, that's
to
the tough
teams.
That's the really tough thing about being a city like Phoenix, right? When you grow up in Wisconsin, you grow up in Illinois, you
Buffalo,
grow up in
New York.
You grow up there. I was just in Buffalo. They have one sports station there, and it's on TV. Their social media followings are ridiculous, all they're doing is reliving one step away from glory because they've never had true glory. They're close.
It's Scott Norwood and Brett Hull.
Yeah, 100%. It's wide right or whatever it was. Yeah. It's wide right. Unless you're facing it, then it's wide left. So it's crazy elements like that. That they just relive it over and over and over and over. It's like funny. You go to Chicago, they're like, how about our 85 Bears and our 90s Bulls? And then you go to Boston, you're like, we haven't won a Super Bowl for a year. What? It's been a few months. Relax.
If the Bruins win the Stanley Cup, then only the Celtics don't have the title currently on their mantle.
Yeah,
they'll have all the three of the four titles
city. What's that?
Well, I don't think we're going to get there. Frank Caliendo will be at Cityscape Saturday night and Sunday night. Since it's Memorial Weekend, you get a Sunday night show.
And Sunday night's like an extra Saturday because 99% of people aren't working on Monday. And there are 7 o'clock shows, I think. 7 o'clock on Saturday.
Yep.
So one show each night. I didn't because I'm doing the Fan Fusion stuff downtown during the day, so it's a long day of a lot of stuff down there. But the shows at Stand Up Live, just one show Saturday, one show Sunday. For people who don't know, we hit on a bunch of the sports impressions and stuff like that. Very clean show. I don't think there's even one swear word in the show. People don't always realize that. They think that comedy is going to be dirty. And it's not that I'm kind of a business person. That's more what it is. Watch me at home. I'm a horrific person. But on stage, really nice guy.
Well, the assistant producer of the Doug and Wolf Show, you're not aware of this, is Jay Feely. And we say that because Jay texts constantly during the show.
You know what? I just saw I got a text from him.
He says, tell Frank he's got big shoes to fill at the banquet.
I'm going to try and do. I couldn't make it this year. I ended up having to do something. But he has a great charity event. It's a women's charity event that was just down the road from me. And I was trying to get there and then had to go out of town. I'm going to get there eventually. It's one of those things where it was just moments away from almost happening, but I had to add. I don't remember even what it was for on time. I probably should have gone there instead. So now I feel guilty about it. But great guy, Jay Feely.
Absolutely.
Fantastic. Absolutely. I didn't realize. It is funny. I got a bunch of texts this morning. It's funny how many of my friends listen to your show. That's an amazing. I guess I shouldn't sound so surprised. That's not the promo.
Because you don't listen, so now.
No, I've listened once or twice. No,
yeah, we all know about it, Frank.
No,
your wolf is getting better, so I know you're listening.
Here's the thing. I'm not in the car in the morning at all, and I'm usually getting my kids ready. I guess I could throw it on. I'm going to start doing it.
We just converted a listener. Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you, bro. Appreciate you coming in.
Hey, absolutely. Great segueing me out of here. Good job. I appreciate
That's what we do. We hit with hammers here.
Yeah. We got a couple promos each out of it. Fantastic stuff. Stand Up Live downtown this week at Frank Caliendo on Instagram. If you can't spell Caliendo, it's the letter C, the word alien, and the word do at Frank C. Alien do on Instagram and all the different stuff. And like I said, standuplive.com gives you all the information for those shows downtown.
And I have been, and it's very entertaining.
Tremendous.
It's tremendous.
Really, really good. It's the Golden State Warriors of performances.
And what was the funniest moment for me was not, I'm sorry, during the show when I went. The funniest moment for me is as I was trying to walk in, J.J. Putz is walking out.
Oh, I see.
And he looks at me, and it was so strange. He goes, do you know Morgan Freeman? And I'm like, of course I don't know. I mean, I know of him, but I don't know who Morgan. I mean, I've never met him. And he goes, you're about to know him. You're about to get to know him. And he was like so pumped up. I was like, okay, J.J., okay.
Right.
And that's when J.J. made you realize he's a crazy person.
I think I knew before because he threw the ball with you. So I
I'll tell you what. Listen,
that was right. The field of dreams. That was
awesome.
Going on.
That was like, he played college baseball with one of the kids who played on my AAU baseball team.
That was great.
The Pookie Bear.
By the way, with your size, I have to ask, what position did you play?
Let's just realize I was a catcher.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, I was a backstop. A catcher who couldn't, with no arm. I could hit a little bit, but I was fairly fleet of foot.
StandUpLive.com. If you haven't done it yet in your life, you got to go see Frank Caliendo Saturday night and Sunday night. Thanks, Frank.
Yeah,
good to
see
you.
Thanks, guys. Rack me out.
Coming up next, what are the Cardinals saying about their offense? Man, that used to be the pinnacle of sports radio 20 years ago. The Cardinals saying about their offense is what you've got to know right now. It's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.